If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What bothers me is that we look at 2022 and we say as a fan base, the only reason the offense was so successful was because of Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni had nothing to do with it. And then we look at last year and the struggles and it's Nick Sirianni's the reason the offense struggled. Well, if you're not going to give him any credit for what happened in 2022, why are you giving him all the blame for what happened in 2023? To me, I think Sirianni's fingerprints are on both. I'm not absolving him for what happened last season, but I just don't think we can say he had nothing to do with a team that was one of the best teams we've seen. If they finish that half of football against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, the 2022 Eagles go down as maybe the best Philadelphia Eagles team we've ever seen. That would have been an historic season.
But we'll talk more about this. We'll get into it after Bill. We got Big Bill in the green room waiting. So let's get our friend Bill Colarulo from 97.5 into the mix. Bill, how you doing, man? Good Tuesday to you.
What's going on, boys?
Attaboy. How are you, Bill? I like it. You got the background. You've been at that 97. Now I'm more used to your
yeah, I'm doing it from my house today, like where I used to do it.
Yeah, like it.
A little bit later of a start today. I'm on from 2 to 6, so I get to get to join you guys this morning, which is always fun.
Nice. 2 to 6, so make sure you get a big Bill Colarulo day. Talk to him in the morning, listen to him in the morning, listen to him in the afternoon, 2 to 6. I guess we'll start with the rookie draft picks and the fact that the Eagles signed 3 of them yesterday. When are we going to get to the point where, why isn't Quinyon Mitchell signed? I had to go through this every year with poor Jody. I'm like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. These things are not issues anymore when it comes to the contracts. Now, you got to take calls all the time, Bill. Do people still worry about that?
Not as much since the – yeah. Not as much since they put in that rookie wage scale, because it used to be tough. I mean, you remember
it used to be really difficult.
Sam Bradford, when he was the first overall pick, held out for, I forget what his guaranteed deal was, but it was ridiculous though.
Well, Sam was the last official bonus baby under the old system who got, you know, immense amount of money. As you mentioned, Andrew Brand always jokes that he's got his own wing in the Business Hall of Fame as the last one, but you know, you used to pay guys like that, Sam Bradford. So this year it would obviously be Caleb Williams. You used to pay those guys more than the best quarterbacks in football as the number one overall pick until they redid that rookie wage scale, which it's kind of a give and take. It's good for the veterans, but it does suck for the younger players a little bit because they're not making the big money until they get to that second contract.
Well, I think you put that with the new NIL deals, and it's a lot of the reason why players are choosing to stay in college a little bit longer, right? I mean, you can make more money with your NIL deals than you can going to the NFL.
Yeah, depending on what program you play at and how good of a player you are, the college guys are making good money. Bill, me and Johnny Mack were talking about the four rookies that were signed. Sean Stevens, the undrafted free agent, was in that group. A lot of depth at slot corner. I want to get your take on what you think they're going to, how you think that position will play out, or what your expectations are, or what you're looking for going into camp. A lot of depth on the back end all of a sudden in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. I was just looking at the depth chart. I think there's 14 potential cornerbacks now, and I would assume they're only going to keep seven of them. So I'm trying to figure out who's going to be the odd man out. I think the easy one is to say, hey, James Bradbury won't be here. But there's going to be some tough decisions. I mean, Isaiah Rodgers is a guy that everybody was so excited about. I'm not sure he even makes the team, John.
Yeah, he's got to have a big summer. Yeah. I think people using the pen with him. I put the pen down, use the pencil. Anytime a guy doesn't play in a year, we were talking about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was a superstar pre-legal issues. He's got to sit for a little bit over a year, but he's got to sit, still young. Hadn't been the same player. I think the assumption that a year off, even for a young guy, isn't going to hurt you, that's probably a bad assumption.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But as far as the slot corner position goes, I'm assuming Avante Maddox makes this team. They brought him back on that one-year deal. I'm thinking that they're hoping he stays healthy. But behind him, does Zach McPherson have a real shot to win that slot corner position? You remember last training camp, he was kind of working in there. We just haven't seen him really outside of special teams on the field because he blew out his Achilles last year.
Yeah, poor Zach's a great guy. It doesn't look good, at least. But, you know, when you get on the field, he's got an opportunity to outplay people. But if you're just looking on paper, as you mentioned, Bill, so many numbers, you only keep a certain amount. You got remember how good special teams players Kaylee Ringo turned out to be, and Josh Job. You know, that's a feather in their cap. Zach's going to have a tough time coming back from that injury, unfortunately. I mean, it's so deep. It's hard to find a path to get him on the roster, barring multiple injuries, and they had multiple injuries last year. He was one of them. So I think that's why the Eagles have overcorrected here to a certain degree and have so many bodies, because they don't want to go through what they did last year in the slot, where they rotated so many bodies. It was just a disaster.
If you remember last year, at one point they moved James Bradbury inside to the slot, I didn't like that. No. Is there any chance that we see him start training camp in the slot corner position to see if he can make this team?
No, I would be stunned. I would be. I mean, to me, that's why they brought in all these bodies. I mean, Avante's back, and obviously, the only thing you have to worry about Avante Maddox is health. If he's healthy, and that's a big if, because he hasn't been. But Tyler Hall is a slot corner. You mentioned Zach McPherson. He's got versatility, but they moved him inside last year. And now you bring in Sean Stevens, who's 5'9", 180, strictly a slot corner. You have Isaiah Rodgers, who has played outside, but if you look at him, it looks like he should be a slot corner. So they have so many guys who can play in the slot.
Not to mention the two safeties who can come down. Well, I say two safeties because I consider Cooper DeGene a safety, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can play the slot. Yeah. We saw Sidney Brown do it a little bit last year too. So there's it's crazy. You're right. They overcorrected in a big way.
Yeah. And it's better because you don't want to be in a position, and not only Bradbury, but you mentioned Sidney as well, and Eli Ricks. Don't forget Eli Ricks. They had a 6'2 guy, Eli, 6'2 guy in James. Sidney Brown, who's a safety, you know, playing out of position. And a lot of people are saying Sidney, before he got hurt, was a little bit of a disappointment because, one, I don't agree with that because he's a third-round pick. I think the expectations were too high. But he's also playing out of position.
Yeah.
You know, of course he's not going to look great playing out of position.
With the way Sidney Brown plays, you knew he was going to make mistakes as a rookie. He plays with his hair on fire, which is what we love about him. But
he had a big interception late in the season, too.
Yeah, he looked athletic on that play, didn't he? Yeah. He looked fast, man. Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah, week 18, he tore his ACL, unfortunately. But as I said, he'll be back early in the season. I think he'll be back week one. I've seen him. The guy's in tremendous shape. He's very young. He's moving around. He looks like he can play right now. I think people, I talked about the old school mentality when it comes to rookie contracts. For whatever reason, everybody thinks an ACL is still a 12-month injury. It's not. It's a nine-month injury now. They've made great advancements. So I think Sidney Brown's going to be back. And when you bring the safeties into the equation, Bill, this is a deep room. Unproven, but very, very, very deep with NFL-level talent as a whole.
Yeah, I don't think when I look at that defense, I'm not putting the secondary as my main concern. I have more concerns about linebacker, same as last year. And then you even have the edge rusher now. I would have loved to have seen them keep Hassan Reddick because I think now at edge rusher, potential to be very good. Definitely the potential's there if Nolan Smith takes that leap this year, if Bryce Huff becomes more of an every down player, but there's just no guarantee now on the edge like you had with an Hassan Reddick who's double digit sacks every single season.
Bill, we talked to you last week right before the coordinator spoke. I just wanted to give you a chance and get your opinion on what you heard specifically from Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. I thought it was pretty good. I said to Johnny Mack, The adults are back in the room. The maturity level is there, and you can clearly see there's two guys that have been around the game. They have experience in the game. So from that perspective, I like it. What did you hear from the coordinators, and what did you like or not like about it?
I think you're spot on. Both of those guys sounded like they could be head coaches with the way they addressed the media. And I don't want to put too much stock just in a press conference because if we did that, Nick Sirianni would have been fired the first day he was here.
Yeah, right.
But I thought they did a great job. Vic Fangio, clearly a veteran who's been around a long time. And what I loved was his answer when they said, what's the most important part of your defense? He said, good players. Yeah. You got to have good players. I don't care how good of a coach you are. And I also liked when he talked about when things start to go south, getting back to basics. And I thought that was important because last season, I think some of the things we heard were people on that defense were confused. They didn't know where to be. There was a lack of communication a lot of times on that defense. So if you're struggling just to get back to basics and keep it simple, because you go back to that San Francisco 49ers game, and I'm sure you remember because we were all there post game when Seth Joyner was just talking about how it looked like nobody wanted to tackle on that defense. It didn't matter how you schemed things up in that 49ers game. People looked like they didn't want to bring guys to the ground. Deebo Samuel, who was talking trash all offseason, came in here and backed it up, and nobody wanted to punch him in the mouth. So that's what I liked hearing Vic Fangio basically saying, listen, when things aren't going well, we're going to get back to basics because you need to be able to play at 100% speed, not questioning where you're supposed to be on the field. And then talking about Kellen Moore, I loved what Kellen Moore had to say. First of all, with Jalen Hurts talking about how his legs is something that is an advantage to them that they're going to utilize because that is spot on. The thing that makes Jalen Hurts so damn good, and we talked about it last week, is his running ability, getting back to that RPO. We talked about that. He also talked about Saquon Barkley and how he's excited for him as a running back to see him run the football, but then also said to take advantage of the other things he does well, which is not only pass protect, but catch the ball out of the backfield, something that the Eagles didn't like to do last year, whether it was Jalen Hurts or Brian Johnson getting the ball to their running backs in the passing game. So I loved all of those things. And obviously he talked about pre-snap motion, which a lot of people are wondering why we didn't have that last season. So
Johnny Mack asked that question. Yeah.
Johnny Mack always asks the good questions. I always hear it. I always hear it. I'm out. There's Johnny Mack. But yeah, some great, I just thought that as far as press conferences go, I thought both of them did a great job. And Michael Clay didn't get a lot of play because we all have heard from him before, but I liked what he had to say too about the return game being a real advantage now. Like, you could take advantage of the new return rules to make that a part of your game plan with your returners. So all in all three coordinators impressed me when they spoke.
Yeah, I Michael's coming off a great season, obviously. The one thing, there was such an improvement on special teams, so I think there's less of it. Last year was the exact opposite. People were asking, why the hell is Michael Clay back?
I couldn't believe it, John. I will admit I was dead wrong. I was furious when they brought him back because the 2022 season, their only weakness that year was their special teams unit.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it came back to haunt them in the biggest game, and I'm thinking, why'd they bring this guy back? But special teams was great last year.
Yeah, it really was. And that was the one, you know, I remember I was concerned in training camp because they kept getting rid of their good special teams players. And one fan said, and I give him credit, and I wish I remember who it was. He said, well, those guys weren't that good anyway. And he turned out to be right. And they let Ringo out there and Josh Jobe and those guys, and they turned into great coverage players. Britton Covey in his second year, phenomenal season as a punt returner. And then, you know, getting a punter helped as well. Braden Mann, after Aaron Sipos continued to go in a negative direction. Braden Mann was great. And Jake Elliott. I mean, that guy's just money.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not many questions when it comes to Michael Clay's units. I was interested with the kickoff return, though, because I heard this a couple times down there. They're kind of in a wait-and-see mode. And I'm like, these special teams coordinators, they're like, what do you mean? This is your job. You don't wait and see. You got to get ahead of the – you got to be proactive and say, all right, I'm going to study a bunch of XFL film, and I think I can do this. And maybe they are. They probably
I would think
are.
They are.
Yeah, but I think, unfortunately, Bill, because they had to water down the rule to get it through, and instead of bringing it out to the 40-yard line, they're only going to bring it out to the 30 with the touchback, which is a little bit more of a penalty, but not much. And I think ultimately we're going to be back to everybody's just kicking it out of the end zone, and it's going to suck.
Yeah, because if you have a weapon back there that can break a long kickoff return every time, the opposing team's going to say, we'll just take our chances putting you at the 30.
Yeah.
So, that's why it would have been better probably to say the 40. But like you said, they may not have gotten it through when they voted on it.
Yeah. So that's kind of disappointing. I don't think much is going to change. I really don't. I think you're going to see a few kickoff returns. And if somebody does have a Cordarrelle Patterson in his prime, they're going to go, all right, I'll just take the ball to 30. I'm not going to kick it to him.
Now, I don't know if I saw this in the rule or not. Is it automatically a touchback if it goes into the end zone, or can a player return it?
You can return it, but if it goes out of the end zone,
They could just kick. These guys are, they have such big legs now, they could just kick it through.
Yeah, that's my point. They're not going to, there's the landing zone, there's all these tweaks. And it looks good on paper, but if there's no penalty to force you to kick it into the landing zone, you know, and the penalty is 5 yards from what it was in previously.
Yeah, they'll just take their chances at the 30.
I think that's what's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong, because I'd love to see the playback.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In the game, and I like the way the XFL did it, but there's got to be an incentive for the kicking team to kick it in. And to me, that 30 is not nearly as bad as the 40. Although Chip Kelly, I bring up Patterson, he lost the game because under the old kickoff rules, he wouldn't kick it to Patterson and just kept giving the ball at the 40-yard line. And they lost the game because of it. So you never know. But I do think that's not going to be as exciting as people hope, unfortunately. And I hope I'm wrong.
But even that 5-yard difference, I think the NFL looks at it as being worth it. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I saw that last year there was a decline in points scored. And I saw some analytic that with the increase of 5 yards in field position, the NFL is predicting it's going to result in X amount of additional points per game. I mean, they're doing everything to try to create more offense. Well, I think partially the hip drop tackle, even though that was a injury concern. It seems to me that the NFL only puts safety rules in place when it results in more offense. Like, they don't worry about...
I mean, no. And also money. Because people like scoring, so it creates interest. And look, evident, you know, they're playing Wednesday on Christmas Day this year. They don't give a crap about player safety. Thursday, short weeks. They don't give a crap.
Short weeks. Yeah. There's research that shows artificial turf isn't as safe as grass. They haven't passed that rule. But the ones, got to get rid of that hip drop tackle.
And interesting, when the soccer stuff is coming here, they're replacing all the fields because they're not going to play. They couldn't have got it if on artificial turf. They won't accept that. But the NFL, which makes more money than God, we can't change over. You got me on a rant, Bill. What an absurd league they are.
Player safety. You know what's going to be crazy this year, John?
Yeah.
That players are able to wear those, I forget what they call them, the protective gear on their helmets. They can choose to wear them in games.
I know. Oh, that's
I don't know if anybody's going to actually do that. That's going to look goofy.
It's going to look really strange.
Yeah, they're going to get ripped to high heaven. I when that came out, I had to go through and look for my Kelce bubble wrap picture.
Yeah.
The bubble wrap on top of
But that's going to be
Guardian cap.
Yeah, the Guardian caps. I saw that I was reading that what they're going to try to do, though, if a player chooses to wear it in a game, they're going to put logos on it or something to try to make it less.
Boy,
it's just
going to build in like a Guardian cap type of helmet.
Yeah, it's going to look very weird. But yeah, they're all about player safety unless it means less money to them, because you can't out of one side of your mouth say, hey, we're going to ban the hip drop tackle for player safety. But then, like you said, play games on Wednesdays, play games on Thursdays, extend the season to 18 games, which is what now Roger Goodell is saying, which we all knew was going to come. But yeah, my concern with that, and I keep saying this, I've been saying this for a while, I knew they were going to go to an 18-game season eventually, but they better stop there, because what makes the NFL so damn good in comparison to all the other major sports is that every game matters. Yeah. 1 week, we're winning the Super Bowl. The next week, we want our head coach fired. In the other sports, you don't get that. People check out until the playoffs. Look at
Johnny Mack had a great comparison on this yesterday. He compared it to baseball. Two losses in
well, that was Vic. I got like it. I got games. It from Vic. That was what Vic did.
Yeah.
You know, back when it was just because Vic's a big baseball guy, a big Phillies fan. He brought that up. He was like, you know, back when they played 16, now they play 17. He said they played 162. So if you think about it from that standpoint, you lose two in a row. That's like losing 20 in a row in baseball. It's a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you went down that route, because the schedule's coming out tomorrow, Bill, officially. We already know week one, San Paolo, Brazil, Eagles, Packers. And they're all meaningful. I brought this up all week. You don't want to play the Packers there.
No.
That's because it's an Eagles home game. So that's a game that would have been at Lincoln Financial Field against an opponent that's probably going to be in the playoff picture with you, and you're fighting for seeding, and now all of a sudden you got to give up a home game. No guarantee, but it would be easier than a neutral field game. If they lose that game, Bill, I think it's a big deal. But they
that was the opponent when I looked at all the potential opponents for that game, because you knew they weren't going to put an NFC East opponent there. You knew it couldn't be teams who were already playing internationally there. The Packers were probably the worst opponent for the Eagles to have to open up in Brazil against. Not only, John, because of what you're saying, where this game may come down to determine seeding when the playoffs hit, this team needs a hot start. I mean, you know, if they go to Brazil and they lose with the way last season ended, the chatter is going to be so loud about, hey, they should have fired Sirianni, and is Jalen Hurts the answer? And I've been saying this, and this sparked a couple of phone calls on the radio, but I was saying that I think we need to be patient as a fan base when this season starts, because as excited as I am about Kellen Moore, this is a new offense that they're going to be learning. So let's preach a little bit of patience here. Jalen Hurts is learning another offense for the, what, how many years in a row now has he had? Only had back-to-back.
He's only had Shane, and that wasn't even back-to-back, because he only had Shane for a half season. So he got him, you know, but not two full seasons.
So I don't.
And ironically, that second season was his best year.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Yeah. So I mean, I did like to hear. We go back to Kellen Moore. I am maybe in the minority here. I like that they're going to build off of what's already here. I know there's a lot of fans who are saying keep Sirianni as far away from the offense as possible. I disagree with that. I think you look at Sirianni's career so far as the head coach, and under his watch, where he's been involved in this offense, they've had a lot of success. You had Jalen Hurts as an MVP candidate. You have A.J. Brown literally breaking franchise records. And we're saying, oh, yeah, get them completely away from the offense. They've done a lot of things well. I get the frustration with the way the season ended. But to act as if this offense hasn't done anything well and to get Sirianni as far away as possible, to me, that's an overreaction.
Yeah, Johnny Mack and I talked a lot about this with Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni. You seem to like the idea of the meshing of the offensive
line.
I was with you at first, and the more I've been thinking about it, I heard Johnny Mack say that, you know, the potential problems he sees with it. I think I'd like Nick to maybe get the heck out of there and just be the CEO coach. Let Kellen run his offense. He's a great offensive coordinator. If you trust in him as an offensive coordinator, he will do the things that worked in Philly, regardless of whether Nick's given the input or not.
Now that I agree with. I think it should be a natural evolution. In other words, Bill, I don't think you should hammer the square peg in the round hole and say, all right, we did this well under Nick. This has to be in this offense. I think if Kellen's as good as people think he is, that's going to happen anyway. Let him do his job if you brought him in. And I don't even agree with that because I don't think it should have been taken away from Nick. But once you did, then you got to let the guy do his job. And you got to let him figure it out on his own. You can't say, oh, you got to – you come in and run the offense, Kellen, but you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. I don't like that.
See, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't think that Nick Sirianni should say to Kellen Moore, you have to do X, Y, and Z. I just think that it would be criminal to say – I'm not going to give you any input at all. I've been here for 3 years. I've worked with Jalen Hurts for 3 seasons. I've worked with A.J. Brown for 2 seasons. I've worked with a lot of these guys on the offense all 3 years. We finished in the top 10 2 years in a row with me involved in the offense. We did all of these things well. This is what Jalen is really good at. This is what A.J. really likes. These are the routes that seem to have really worked. These are the pass protections and the run blocking schemes that seem to really work. Why would you not lean on that type of information of a guy who's been here for 3 seasons? My concern is that there are people saying, get him completely removed from the offense. And to me, it's, why wouldn't you lean on that type of information? Why
well, I think it's the only
more information you have,
sense.
The better.
Information is fine. To use the guy that's been here for 3 years and has seen the ups and the downs. Obviously, he's going to have some good input. But I do think Kellen should have autonomy to be able to.
I agree with that.
Yeah, to be able to call what he wants to call, to be able to, you know, go to a situation the way he sees fit. But we'll see. I mean, I think Nick might be feeling like he's getting undercut. And part of me wonders if the human element of that is going to come through where, you know, I was hired as the play caller first. I'm the offensive-minded head coach. I don't want to give it all up.
The problem I see is – if this offense has success this year, everyone's going to say, see, it's just because of Kellen Moore. Sirianni had nothing to do with it. I've had some conversations with some people at the Fanatic who are thinking, if Kellen Moore has a good season as offensive coordinator, he obviously becomes a head coaching candidate. But they're saying, well, we think that the Eagles would make the decision to keep Kellen Moore and get rid of Sirianni. And I don't see how you could do that, because if Kellen Moore has a good season, the Eagles have a good season. Right. Yeah. Can you really say, hey, the Eagles had a good year, we're going to move on from our head coach?
I don't think they would do that, but I do think it makes sense if you think the Eagles are regretting the way they left Steichen leave the building. You saw how the offense changed when he left. If Kellen can create success, I could see why someone would say they'll want to keep that guy in the building. Keep the offense, you know.
I don't think anybody in that building is thinking about letting Shane Steichen out of the building. And that's not an insult to Shane. That's I think that's a fan base thing. Like, he did a great job. They made it to the Super Bowl with the head coach. They're not thinking about returning. BLG, our buddy Brandon Lee Gowton, has the best philosophy on this. If you're really good, you're going to lose coaches. So just accept it. Don't worry about it. That's the way it works.
Well, from the mindset though, Johnny Mac, can't you approach it with, okay, we're going to lose coaches if we're good no matter what. Let's get the guy that runs our offense to be the head guy, because then we're not going to lose them.
Completely.
It's more like the Andy Reid approach, where Andy's the offense. He brings in a good offensive mind. You know, they lose Eric Bieniemy. They bring in a new guy. Offense still looks great. From that approach, I could see where they might think with that line of logic.
Here's what's bothered me, and you guys may disagree because you both are saying you don't want Kellen Moore to try to blend with Nick Sirianni's offense. What bothers me is that we look at 2022 and we say as a fan base, the only reason the offense was so successful was because of Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni had nothing to do with it. And then we look at last year and the struggles, and it's Nick Sirianni's the reason the offense struggled. Well, if you're not going to give him any credit for what happened in 2022, why are you giving him all the blame for what happened in 2023? To me, I think Sirianni's fingerprints are on both. I'm not absolving him for what happened last season, but I just don't think we can say he had nothing to do with a team that was one of the best teams we've seen. If they finish that half of football against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, the 2022 Eagles go down as maybe the best Philadelphia Eagles team we've ever seen. That would have been an historic season if they finished
that. I say it all the time. That's the best Eagles team. The best team doesn't always win.
Yeah.
The best Patriots team didn't win. They were 16-0. They didn't win a Super Bowl. That's still the best Patriots team. I'm sorry. They are. Similar, I say it all the time, and most people around the team with me agree with me. That's the best Eagles team I've ever covered. Now, I'm not going back to Ray Diddy. He'll go back to 49 and 50.
You're not that old, John?
Almost, but I'm not going back to 49 and 50. I think it's the best Eagles team of the modern era. And I covered the Super Bowl team. They're much better than the Super Bowl winning team.
I would go as far as to say if they had one more drive, one more couple minutes on the clock to get that ball back, they could have won that Super Bowl.
I just wish they had the chance. If that holding call doesn't get called, we at least get to see them with the ball back with some time on the clock.
I don't understand why people, a lot of people, not everybody, but they can't wrap their heads around that. It takes a lot of things to win. It could be a crappy call, a 50-50 call, because James had no problem with that. James is accountable. He said, I held. They called it. I wish they didn't. But it's a 50-50 call, and they might not call it, and all of a sudden it's a different outcome. That's how razor-thin the margin is. So I know you got to run, Bill, so we'll wrap it up. I do want to talk about the motion real quick, but we'll get into that. 2-6 this afternoon. Bill,
I got to say, John, I got to tell you. So I was down at the Dover Raceway. We were doing a show from we were doing a show from there, but I had to get picked up by the head of their marketing or whatever it was in a golf cart. And I get in and I go to shake his hand. I said, how you doing? I'm Bill Calarulo. He goes, I know who you are. I'm an avid Birds 365 listener. And I see you on that show. Yeah. And I said, oh, good to hear, man. He goes, oh, I love John McMullen. Love John McMullen. He goes, I look forward to hearing him every single day. So he may be listening right now. So we'll give him a shout out.
Good shout out to the, you know, for him down at Dover. That's good stuff right there, Bill. That's good Birds 365 love out there.
Yes, sir. Well, I got to run. I got to go take my daughter to school. But I appreciate you guys having me. Hopefully, I'll see you next week.
All right,
thanks, Bill.
See you, man.
See you guys.
See ya.
There's Big Bill Calarulo on from 97.5 The Fanatic later today, 2-6. Doing great job over there. We miss having Bill here on Jacob Sports, but he always does great work. Always great to get him up here. Johnny Mac, we'll get to a timeout, our first timeout of the show, and we'll come back and we'll go part two of the defensive breakdown. We'll get into coverages in the back end. So put back on that football cap, that Vic Fangio cap, and get ready to explain some defense to me and to the listeners of Birds 365. I want to thank everybody. Speaking of our listeners, I want to thank all of them for being in here. SMD Eagles, Rolando, Twiz, Robert, Slagger, Crawley. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you drop a like on the show. Let's get over 100 likes today during the live show. Over 100 likes. Can we do it? If you guys like Birds 365, be sure to drop a like. Let's get to a commercial break. And on the other side, we'll go part two of the defensive breakdown.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.